Good morning. I'm Jan Schaefer. It was the last presentation. So I'm very excited to share that there are no relationships to disclose. And I'm very, very excited to share with you some of the great work that we've been doing as an organization over the last 2 years. St. Christopher's Foundation for Children is one of the Convergence Partnership awardees. We were one of the 15 throughout the country to receive a Healthy Eating Active Living grant. It was a matched grant. It was a 2-to-1 matched grant. And as an organization, we thought we were primed to go into this particular area of work because we had done a lot of work in North Philadelphia, which you may or may not know is a large part of North Philadelphia, is part of the 1st Congressional District, which is the second hungriest community in the United States of America. So we have a very challenged community that we are trying to work with and address lots of the issues that we all know that are connected to poverty, food access being one of the most important, and all the other things that are connected with it. I said in the beginning that I'm with St. Christopher's Foundation for Children. We are, in essence, a health conversion foundation. And we continue all of our work in the community around the hospital, which is now a for-profit hospital. But the community around it, as I mentioned, is very challenged. So there's many things for us to address, and finding ways to connect with the hospital is very important to us. You know, how do we use this great pediatric hospital that's been around for many years supporting the community? How do we use those resources and then connect back to this community that really, really needs their support? So when we decided to apply for the Convergence Partnership Award, we had to really think about the fact that we already realized that obesity was a big issue, that food insecurity was a big issue, and the many other challenges, but that was one of the things that we thought that we could really focus our work and attention on. And we really thought about what are all the things we already have here, instead of trying to find out what can we create, what is already here, what are all the gems that we can uncover and connect together. And in Pennsylvania, you also know, it's some of the most fertile farmland available in the United States. So we realized that there were already farmers, smaller farmers, farmers that had these wonderful crops that were not making it into these communities because we don't have we didn't have the systems, or they took the grocery stores away, or there just wasn't the population to sustain something like this. So we decided to look at a strategy that would bring all of these things together, that bring the farm fresh food into the places where the people needed it, and try to get it at an affordable price. So we looked at kind of a quasi or hybrid of a CSA strategy. So what we decided to do, what we applied to the Convergence Partnership for, was to look at could we get a weekly box of fresh food into the community at an affordable price so that families on a weekly basis, not where they're doing a traditional CSA where they're making this huge upfront investment, how do we make that available to families at an affordable price? So we created a box structure. And we decided that around that box, if you haven't had access to fresh food before, you're going to need some education around it. So we decided that would be a very important component. And we also realized that all these findings that we would that we learned through this process, that we're going to need to find out how we can then change policy if there were opportunities to really make sure that any kind of data that was uncovered from this work could use that to influence change. So I talked about that we're looking for all the gems that are already there. There were a lot of gems, and there were a lot of things that we were able to uncover. We pulled the dollars together, and we said, how can we make these grants? How can we make grants out to these different organizations that are already there that are really going to make this distribution system happen, getting the fresh food all the way to the family in this box, into this fresh box? So we decided that we would go through the whole process of finding, you know, who, doing lots of listening, asking questions, you know, trying to become as much of an expert on what was there and how we can make it work together. So we found this unbelievable group of organizations that are already there. The Common Market had just finished their first year of aggregating farmers in Pennsylvania and throughout the region to get their farm fresh food into these types of communities, especially North Philadelphia. They're actually located in North Philadelphia. Share, interestingly, they do a box of fruit on a monthly basis, but it's mostly non-perishable foods that goes to churches, etc. And interestingly, the Common Market and Share are co-located in the same warehouse, which is really interesting. So that was one great resource we already had in North Philadelphia, which is where we're trying to get to. The Health Promotion Council is an organization that's done lots of work with children and families. They're actually connected with another program in Philadelphia called PUFA, and where they're working with youth to address some of the issues around understanding fresh food and why it's important for them to use. Then we decided that we wanted to get this food into some of the community-based organizations because that's where we wanted the food to come from, so that there was some type of a connection to accessing this food. And then we tried to do something really cool and connect the logistics of working with a youth bike program, so that if we needed to get some of the food to families who had challenges logistically to get the food, that we could use a youth bike service, which would kind of connect with their physical activity. And then, of course, OMG, Wendy is with OMG. She's one of our evaluators. TRF, which is a wonderful organization in Philadelphia that helped us to do some of our mapping. And then the University of Pennsylvania, it's called Penn Design. Penn Design has a great team of academics that help us think through some of the ideas. So this just talked a little bit about what we decided we were going to go forth and learn and trying to be as flexible as possible, because we knew with all these different organizations throughout North Philadelphia, lots of different communities. One community is Latino, one community is African American, one's this emerging Russian population. So we have Vietnamese, we have all these different communities. How do you get one box of food that everyone's going to like? I mean, it's even for this group, half of you would say, I don't want half that box, and the other one would say, I want that box, you know, or I want these things. So, you know, we really wanted to try and be flexible, learn from the things that we could so that we could move in a direction just like you would if you're starting a business. You start with one product and you keep moving the product in whatever direction you're going to see a market for. So we learned lots of different things, and Wendy's going to share a little bit about that. But we really wanted to focus on local produce as much as we could. We wanted this to be a year-round program because we felt that even though farmers markets, which we are seeing a lot of those popping up in North Philadelphia, even though they're really great and they have, you know, this great selection and you can make the choice, it's not year-round. And we believe that the actual behavior change has to be a year-round opportunity, because you cannot, and would you want to say that your grocery store is only open 6 months out of the year? I don't think so. So that was one of the things we really wanted to stay committed to, even if we didn't go local in the winter months, that we said, you know what, it's okay. We're going to really focus on the fresh and eating non-processed food. So if our team is going to access food from other places, that's okay. Well, this box can have, you know, things that are citrus fruits or whatever, but we're going to keep people focused on changing the behavior, using this kind of an approach, and doing it long term. We wanted to really focus on children and families. A lot of children that are getting this great curriculum in school are going home and their parents are feeding them what they used to feed them. And I know from my own personal experience, the way I eat is based on what my mother gave me. And I liked it because that's what I connect my good memories with. It's what I like to eat because I learned to have a taste for it. So we thought it was really important that the families really became involved in this and participated at that level, at the home level. And then we talked about the nutrition education. Nutrition education, we're learning a lot about what works and what doesn't. And we're learning that having someone say, here, would you like a sample of this, doesn't work. Sometimes we put recipes in each one of the boxes. But, I mean, that's, again, really challenging. You have all these different languages people speak. Words that explain cooking things that people don't have the tools for is like talking another language. So we realize you have to get really simple. We have more simple and more simple. You know, do the families even have the tools to cut the vegetables to eat at home? Do they have a place to sit that they can eat such kind of food like this? Do they have pots and pans? Do they have working stoves or refrigeration? So it gets, you know, as you learn more of this work, you realize how deep into the actual lives of families you have to get in order to really create change. And some people culturally just say, this is not something we do, or we don't eat vegetables, or, you know, this is just not something that we have interest in. So it's kind of breaking that in with families who say, look, if you don't make this change, then your child is, there's the path you're going on. So either you can do this, or you can just continue on the path, because we know what's going to happen. I did mention that, you know, poverty creates all these things, but what we do know is that with the food insecurity, obviously, we saw before, it's, you know, 70% of our kids are either overweight or obese. So it's an enormous population of kids that we have to make a change with. And each time, you know, each week that we have a family buying another package, I think, wow, that's something we did right now. It's not when we were able to figure it out later and in 2 years we came up with this great idea. We made a change right now that people can participate in. So our first year, we had one site, and we were able to get some of the families from the community to participate. But we realized we had to really make lots of food hubs throughout this North Philadelphia area. So we had to get not just one spot, we had to get, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 in community-based organizations where the leadership at the top bought into it, that all the employees there bought into it, that there was the strong enough community component or strong enough volunteer component, that they were each week going to show up, they're going to market the product, they were going to make sure that families could come and pick it up. And we looked at all these things that are going to make a distribution system like this work. And then you have to say, is there a market? So you make something affordable for families. You know, they buy their $10 or $15 box using whatever resources they have. If they have food stamps or, you know, cash or check, they can use all those things. But even if you have these things available, does that mean people are going to eat it? You know, does that mean just because it's there that they're going to access it? So it's almost, you know, do you make a market? How do you make people want to start trying something that they haven't before? How do you say, you know what, this stuff might go bad in 3 days. If you don't eat it right away, if you don't figure out how to use it, cook it, and then eat it and enjoy it, and then want to come back the next week for it, it's a big challenge. It's a really big challenge to get families who are already dealing with pressures that most of us cannot even imagine. So, you know, I look at this every day and I think, oh, my God, this is so complex. It's so challenging when you could really just pop something in the microwave and cook it, and it just gets the job done, or go and eat something fast. But these are the kind of things that we need to really focus on as an organization. So Wendy's going to talk about what we learned in the first year and that some of the things that are happening now. But it's been a great journey, and we've learned so much. So thank you very much.
Thank you. So yes, I want to talk a little bit about some of the successes, some of the challenges, and where things stand right now. So a lot of the early successes and the challenges I'm going to talk about come from that first pilot year of the initiative and the work. So we knew that there was a need within North Philadelphia, but would we see the demand? Would the pieces that were put together actually be operationalized, and would people come and participate in this initiative? And we found out that there was, in fact, consumer demand. At the initial pilot site, we had 35 people a week coming and purchasing boxes. Depending on where you sit, that might sound like a lot or not very much, but it does take a long time to change habits and change behavior. So we're very excited to see that folks were showing up and were interested in making purchases. Also, we were able to make strategic refinements to the initiative, both in terms of the evaluation partners as well as the general partnership, provided formative feedback along the way to make sort of incremental changes to tweak all the different pieces from distribution all the way to education to make sure that this is a viable initiative moving forward. We are also able to establish criteria for the distribution sites, kind of really looking at what's that threshold organizational capacity for rolling this out and expanding to a number of new sites. Coupled with that, we identified possible distribution sites. The reinvestment fund mapped an area of North Philadelphia around St. Christopher's Hospital, looking at numbers of children in the area, low supermarket access, as well as the existing resources that were found in those neighborhoods, places like schools, churches, CBOs, to figure out who exactly might help take this work and move it forward. The nutrition education piece, still a challenge, but a lot of success there as well. Of course, there are challenges in any initiative, whether at the beginning stages or, you know, far into it. So just to quickly go through these, I'm going to highlight a couple of the challenges and then some of the ideas that were generated around dealing with these challenges moving into the second year of implementation. So marketing. Marketing is a big issue. We were getting people to come, but a lot of the families were one- or two-person households. We were still missing a lot of the children that we wanted to impact and affect. So really targeting marketing efforts more towards families and children and where families and children naturally congregate to try and tell them about the Farm to Families program and have them talk to their friends as well, and do more of a word-of-mouth campaign to really get the word out in the community. Program finance is always kind of an issue, as I'm sure most people are familiar with. So we had to consider some alternative pricing and income models. This really comes down to economies of scale, moving into the second year of this work, having, you know, smaller amounts added to the cost of boxes to be able to help supplement and make this a viable option. The food box contents, as Jan sort of touched on, you know, there's a lot of disagreement about people want too much cabbage, not enough cabbage. I don't know if people really say that, but so a lot of people would say, you know, they wanted more choice and they wanted more options. And so we had discussions around what to do about that, including having potentially a la carte options or having a swap box where people could take out one item and take something new. Some of that was implemented during the first year in terms of the swap box. And then I'll just touch on infrastructure. Infrastructure was a big deal, especially around data collection and technology. We had people fill out registration forms, and then we also had information on what it was people were ordering week to week. And we really wanted to be able to track and look at that. You know, who are the consumers? When are they buying? Are they consistently buying? Are they dropping off? If so, when are they dropping off? And to pull together a technology data system that would really read all of that information and be able to use that system moving forward as we were including more distribution sites. So that took a lot of time and resources that weren't anticipated. So in terms of where things stand, we've expanded to 8 sites. There's 6 public and 2 private, with about 130 boxes being delivered weekly. We've made a few strategic changes to the model in this next year of work, including having only $10 and $15 boxes, streamlined partnerships, more of an emphasis on children, and providing more options at a reasonable cost. We included the a la carte options at this point so people could get the avocados or other sorts of things that they really wanted in their communities. Finally, there's this new idea that we've rolled out called FreshRx. It's a prescription for health that's done at St. Christopher's Hospital, where the doctors actually write a prescription with it has all the various distribution sites located on it, and gives that to the children through the ambulatory pediatrics division. So as Jan mentioned, that affects 70% of the children coming there are either overweight, failure to thrive, or obese. So that's kind of a new, exciting development. Finally, at the end of the day, in terms of what it means for this forum and some of the ancillary benefits of this work, engaging the community. You know, selected sites were meant to be places where people would naturally gather, and the pilot site, they really tried to bring in, you know, people by having music and signage and making that a place where people would want to come and talk and interact and sit around, you know, watching the cooking demonstrations. And they've had mixed results. It's really depended on the organizations who are involved in this effort and how much emphasis they place on this particular program and the excitement that's been generated around the program. So we've really seen with individual organizations, if they have a lot of excitement, they're able to reel people in, bring them in, and have that community engagement. In other places, it's a bit of just sort of a one-stop shop. They pick up the box and they leave. In terms of improving eco-literacy, again, the principles of eco-literacy exist, but it's still emergent and, again, depends on the site. So one site is much more holistic in the new phase. They have, you know, greening urban vacant lands. They have community gardens. And this fits really, you know, CSA model fits in nicely with the other work they're doing. People always ask about sustainability. Jan noted, you know, funding will run out after 2 years, essentially. And St. Christopher's Foundation is not necessarily in the business of food security per se and won't necessarily put together a lot of other programs around this. So what might make more sense moving forward is to embed the program with one of the existing partners who already does a lot of work in this area. And then finally, in terms of policy implications, this is one of those things where we've started to make some headway. We had interviews with local policymakers around suggestions for how to, you know, really help in terms of the food system to work locally. They noted a number of different items, many of which people have already noted today, including increased enrollment and participation in SNAP and WIC to increase funds available sort of more broadly for households to buy nutritious foods. Policymakers and advocates should also bolster healthy eating efforts that are taking place in schools to really set the tone early on. And finally, the revitalization of urban land for urban agriculture is an important next step, obviously, in serving food insecure areas in the city. Thank you.